My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. If we were at Wimbledon, this would be the men's doubles. As far as I'm concerned, they're all champions. John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, Dennis Norton. John, this lady you're about to hear doesn't think much of the film she's just seen. So she says, or rather so she sings. What a movie.
What a movie. What a terrible, awful movie. It's a crime what they put on the screen. I can hardly believe what I've seen. Do they think we're a lot of children? It would bore any 4-year-old. Bones, dribbles, phenomenons, won't escape this technicolor twaddle.
I bet that took a bit of rehearsal. Did you recognise that, John?
Is she talking on the telephone?
No, I don't know, frankly, I don't know. There's something I do not know. It's not Minotti, if you mean the telephone.
Ah, that's what I wanted.
No, it's not Minotti, no.
No, I've no idea what that is.
Well, it's the same nationality.
American, yes, well, I think I was onto that.
Yeah, I think you were, yeah. Well, it's Wendy White singing From Trouble in Tahiti by Leonard Bernstein.
Leonard Bernstein.
Yes, Leonard Bernstein. Similar, but not the same. Frank, your partner will know the singer here, you too, I think, perhaps, but the composer, well, who's the poet, Frank, concerned?
No bugle blow, set the wild echoes flying. Bugle blow, answer, echoes, answer.
He's awfully excited.
Dying.
Wait for him to die.
Yes. You know the singer, I think, and the composer, do you? Certainly.
Peter Pears.
Yes, that's right.
And it's Benjamin Britten.
Yep.
And we have decided that the poet was Mr. Tennyson. Yes. Lord Tennyson.
Lord Tennyson. That's from The Splendour Falls on Castle Walls in The Princess. Yes. Barry Tuckwell was on the horn there. Ian, you're going to hear the voice of a very talented lady. She would have to be to have appeared in so many great films like A Taste of Honey and in plays from Charlie Girl to She Stoops to Conquer.
I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too. Life's really worth living when we are mirth-giving. Why can't I give some to you?
You recognise her? I don't recognise her voice. I just happen to know who it is.
Well, how lucky you are.
she was somebody's mum in A Taste of Honey.
Dora Bryan.
Yes, it was Dora Bryan.
Good gracious.
Yeah. Which show was it from, Ian, that song, I Want to Be Happy?
Nunu Nanette.
Yes. Hence the song about the request of the band leader. Do you remember?
Yes, Tommy.
Yes,
story.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. It's really Frank's story, but it's the chap in the nightclub, the Scot, who goes up to the band leader and says, my wife's very fond of Nunu Nanette. Could you play a selection? And he said, sorry, I don't know it. He said, do you mean to see that you knew Nanette?
Thank you.
I think Frank does the accent better.
Dennis, two of the most brilliant musical people I know got together to make this record. Both of them, as it happens, are dedicated listeners to this programme. One is an arranger, the other's a pianist. Or, as I would put it, the arranger and the pianist.
Thank you.
lovely. Do you know them?
Well, let me put it this way. This is one of those panel games where you don't actually have to know all that much about music if you know your chairman.
Well, all right, yes.
I believe I met you at a concert where the pianist was playing, yes. And I was raving on about him in my untutored way, and you were going on about him in your educated way. That was George Shearing.
Yeah.
And I believe the arranger, now, I hope I'm right here, the arranger that you go on about,
yes,
is Robert Farnan.
Yeah, that's right. Robert Farnan, yes. I was on the phone to George Shearing only about 3 or 4 days ago. He told me he'd just gone out to the kitchen where his wife Ellie was preparing a meal for some guests. She was doing a puree, and he had a drink in his hand, and apparently she said to him, "George, don't rain on my puree." I've been thinking about various kinds of singing. John, scat singing, for instance. Can you give me an example of scat singing in an opera?
Yes, Porgy and Bess.
Yes. Can you do a bit?
Yeah, dum doodaloo, boo boo boodaloo. Cascady wah.
Zim zam boodle boo.
It ain't necessarily so.
That's the one, yes. Frank, where might I hear mouth music?
Billingsgate. There was a. The BBC television discovered this, didn't they, about 20 years ago. Yeah. And you had these shots of these rather dour-looking gentlemen sitting around making mouth music in the Hebrides or the...
Yes, you've got the right nation anyway. In the Hebrides, Highlands, especially, yes, especially in the Hebrides. You wouldn't like to give an example, Ian, of mouth music, would you?
It's not really a type of singing that I'm at all adept in, and the writs from north of... Scotland will probably come, but it's a sort of
that's the one. It's my favourite song. Ian, it's actually your turn. What, please, is Penithlion singing? Not so much what as whence comes Penithlion singing?
Well, I should think from your exquisite pronunciation of presumably a double L. Yeah. It comes from Wales.
Yes, that's right, it does. Traditional Welsh singing, largely improvised and accompanied by a harp.
Wales, yeah. That reminds me of Jennifer Vivian, remember the soprano?
Yes,
it did. Who went to Wales to a music club, and she said, "Well, I was last here 15 years ago. It's very nice to be back." And the club secretary says, "Very nice to have you back, Miss Vivian. Same old dress, I see." The funny things go on in Wales. Gerald Moore told a story once. He was playing it before he became famous and before he could become choosy and say, "No, I want a hotel." He accepted hospitality.
Oh, yes.
And he was rather taken aback to find he had to share a bed with somebody. And so there was nowhere else. They were miles from anywhere. So he accepted and he went to bed. And he said in the middle of the night he turned over and it so happened his arm fell over the shoulder of the man in the bed. And the man immediately woke up and said, "Oh, Mr. Moore, this is Wales. We don't do that sort of thing here."
I've got to get back to the questions somehow. Dennis, at the end of a day's filming, as you well know, the director by tradition calls out, "It's a wrap," which I suppose means wrap up the gear. But what is rap singing, spelt R-A-P?
Yes, what indeed? Well, it's a sort of contemporary version of what we used to call a patter song. And
yes.
What it does, actually, is it's... It removes the lyric, because you can't understand, you can't hear clearly what they're saying. It also removes the music.
Yes.
So all you're left with rhythm, which is apparently what they want.
If you like lyrics, I mean, it is sometimes ingeniously rhymed doggerel.
Yeah.
Also, it generates a certain amount of fury, so...
Yes. Music by Couperin, Sir Monique.
Thank you.
Sister Monique, which makes me wonder how many of you have sisters? You have a sister, John?
I've got one, yes.
Yes. Frank, have you got a sister?
No, I've got a splendid sister-in-law.
Ah, well, yes.
But no sister, no.
We've all got them, yeah. Ian, a sister?
No, I haven't got a sister.
Dennis,
sister-in-law,
no sister? Yes.
You don't, it's just reminding me of... I haven't rung her for a week, so... but with you coming on the wireless and talking about it, you know...
Anyway, John, for you, an Italian sister. Which sister does that call to mind?
Well, it doesn't recall, really, a blood sister.
No.
But
no.
A religious...
That's right, yes.
...sister. I think it's Puccini.
Yes.
And I think it's Sister Angelica.
Yes.
Suor Angelica.
From Il Trittico, yes, that's right. Sister, in the nun sense. Frank, here's a sister for you, who happens to be a good dancer.
Waiting for George Milly to come in.
Very much his kind of song, actually.
That, yeah, isn't yeah. it? It's the shimmier.
Yes.
Sister Kate.
I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate. She shimmies like a jelly on a plate, does she not? Yeah. Ian, who's singing about this sister?
Oh, Sister Josephine, what do all these policemen mean? By coming to the convent in a grim limousine after Sister Josephine. While you, Sister Josephine, you sit with your boots upon the altar screen, you smoke one last cigar. What a funny nun you are.
Wonderful yeah. artist. Such an individual style. Yes. Completely individual. Jake Thackeray.
Thackeray, that's right. Thackeray, yes.
Thackeray, sorry. There he is.
Dennis, can you place this sister?
Dominique, Nique, Nique, s'en allait tout simplement. Routier, pauvre et chantant. En tout chemin, en tout lieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu. Il ne parle que du bon Dieu.
Yes.
You know her?
No, that brings back, was it the 60s?
Yes.
Golly, yeah. That's the singing nun,
yes.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Remember they called Pavarotti when he was first on the scene, the singing tun.
She was Sister Souria.
Souria,
Sister
that's
Luke Gabriel
right.
from yeah. a convent near Brussels, yes. One of the nice things about being in our business is the interesting people you get a chance to meet. I, for instance, am privileged to have met John Amos, Frank Beer, Ian Wallace and Dennis Gordon. I can ask for a little more from life than that. But how about you? Which musical person are you most proud to have met? Present company accepted, I should add.
Stravinsky.
You met Stravinsky, did you?
Yes. He came for a whole week to Dartington.
Mm. Summer school.
Was on the campus. After concerts, we would have him to have a glass of red wine, and he would tell us little anecdotes, because the conversation books about him had not at that time come up, and he would tell us stories of playing piano duets with Debussy, and they went through part of the Rite of Spring. He said, Debussy did not like it very much. He said, then we played his ballet, Je, and I did not like that.
Yeah, be very waspish.
Yeah. He was a terrible thing about his health, and I learned after the first day not to ask him how he was, because it took him 7 minutes to tell me.
Frank, who are you proud to have met?
Well, Dennis and I, there's one glorious evening, Dennis and I met Frank Sinatra and Rosemary. We didn't actually meet them, but we very, very nearly met them. we were in Hollywood on behalf of the BBC, and we had a letter of introduction to Ira Gershwin, and a very old, rather deaf and delightful man who really was only interested in the racing at Saratoga, and so conversation lagged a bit, and he said, do you want to meet Lillian Hellman? She's upstairs. She went to the dentist. She'll be down. And we hung on and hung on, waiting for Lillian Helm to come down. Nothing. You could hear some laughter from next door. He said, Frank Sinatra's at Rosemary Clooney next door, having a great party. Would you like to meet Frank? We said, yes. He rang the phone. He said, hello? 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 He said, I'm having such a great time. They can't hear the phone.
So you nearly met.
We very, very nearly met.
Takes care of you, Dennis, doesn't it? What, Dennis, did anybody else you'd like to mention in that connection?
Well, we were at a party where they honoured Noel Coward, it was a great party. But I've mentioned that before on this programme. What's just come back to mind was I'm trying to think how long ago it was. It was back before the Common of the Railroad, you know. It was way, way back. And I was a stagehand at what was then the largest cine variety theatre in Europe, the Gaumont State Kilburn. And we had Paul Robeson on stage, and it was my duty to stand at the side of the stage, and when he came off for his encore, I had a glass of dry sherry, which he would come off, drink half of it, small glass, while the applause carried on, then went back. So that was a great moment. But somebody we were talking about not long ago was a great pleasure to meet. It was a man called Jimmy Kennedy, who you don't hear of much, but wrote some of the songs of... some of the great songs of my era. It was a British songwriter, and he wrote things like Isle of Capri and South of the Border and Hometown. Yeah. And also a couple of songs that are only ever mentioned on this programme. One is called Stay in My Arms, Cinderella. And the other one is one of Steve's favourites, O Donna Clara. Which we used to sing, O Donna Clara, I seen you dancing.
He also wrote Teddy Bear's Picnic.
Teddy Bear's Picnic, indeed, yeah.
I think if I were asked, and somebody might have asked me, I would say Rodgers and Hammerstein. I met Rodgers and Hammerstein, and that was good enough for me, really, when you think of the songs and the shows they did. Just occasionally, Frank has to have a little gentle musical help from John in one of these programmes, and sometimes John can require a little prompting from Frank. Well, we'll see. John, what is this? Very clever. What is it?
I think it's a piece called Brother, Can't You Spare a Bach Double Concerto.
Yeah. Yes. A combination of the two, done very cleverly by Gidon Kremer and some friends on a record, yes.
I always think he sounds like something out of a Western, don't you? Gidon Kremer.
Gidon, yeah. Gidon, your little Kremer. Frank, who wrote this, or perhaps more to the point, who scored it?
I do know.
You do.
How about that?
Yes.
Well, it was years ago, going home from a recording of my music, and I had Radio 3 on, and it was Shostakovich, a programme about Shostakovich. I discovered this extraordinary thing that he'd scored this, T for Two. Yeah. It is called Tahiti Trot.
Tahiti Trot.
And it stuck in my memory. I thought I could dazzle somebody with this information.
No copyright for him, of course, in those days. Being in Russia, they didn't subscribe to the copyright convention, so he called it something else.
Yeah.
He called it Tahiti Trot. He was, in fact, T for Two, yes. Ian, who is this singing Home Sweet Home? She was born in Canada only a couple of years after you were born. Mm-hmm. In fact, you and she would have made a very handsome couple. Unless, perhaps, she's not your type anyway.
Lead treasures and palaces, though we may roam, feed ever so humble, there's no
Do you know her?
Well, the clue was when she was born, I guess. And it's
Diana Durbin.
Diana Durbin, yes. Born in, just a little bit after you, let's say. Right. Dennis, on the subject of food.
Boiled beef and carrot. Boiled beef and carrot. That's the stuff for your doggy jelly. It makes you better. It keeps you willy. Don't live like vegetarian. I'm food vengeance to parrot. The more you know, blow out your kite. I'm boiled beef and carrot. Boiled beef and carrot. Boiled beef and carrot. That's the stuff for your doggy jelly. Makes you better. It keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarian. I'm food vengeance to parrot. The more you know, blow out your kite. I'm boiled beef and carrot. Da da di da di da da. Good old Harry. Bravo, Harry.
Know what I mean, Harry. It's Harry Champion. Dennis, Tin Pan Alley songwriters have drooled on about food forever. So, from the songwriting food fetishists of your and my generation, where can I learn about three things? Shafafa, apple pan dowdy, and a cup of coffee. So, shafafa.
That's frim
I guess. Yes, that's right, you got it. Yes, frim-fram sauce with shafafa on the side.
Apple pan dowdy, shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy.
Makes your eyes light up. And I love coffee.
I love coffee. I love tea. I like the Java.
That's right.
Yeah. The Americans didn't write food songs as well as we did, actually. I think on this program, some of the sort of comic songs I have to dig up, they were great food songs. I found one called Kabajas, Kabeans and Carrots.
Yes.
How does a hen know the size of an egg cup? except that's as funny as it gets, unfortunately. Yeah. And another one is you can't eat a kipper with a cricket bat. And again, it didn't get any better than that, unfortunately.
One of our regular listeners in Stratford, Ontario, sent me a church concert programme which listed among the items an old garlic melody. We'll be hearing one later on. Even the contestants in my music have to sing for their supper, and this is where three of them sing and one of them whistles. Four tunes they've chosen themselves. First of all, Frank, and one of Irving Berlin's waltzes.
What'll I do when you are far away and I am blue? What'll I do? What'll I do when I am wondering who is kissing you? What'll I do? What'll I do with just a photograph to tell my troubles to? When I'm alone with only dreams of you that won't come true, what'll I do?
Ravel's Rhapsody Espagnole includes a habanera, which John has arranged for puckered up mouth. Shall we have a go, John?
Let's try. All right.
Thank you. Aubrey Brown, Auntie Jane, you may not know them, but you will after you've heard Dennis's song for this week.
Aubrey was in love with a girl in a drapery store. He used to see her home at 8, kiss her at the garden gate. She told her Auntie Jane, once a night he used to kiss. So Auntie sent to Aubrey Brown a note that went like this. What's the use of kissing a girl only once a night? Only once a night? You know that isn't right. There must be something wrong with you. I should see your doctor, Aubrey. Kissing your sweetheart once a night is like giving a donkey a strawberry.
So, it's not always easy to bridge the artistic gap between Dennis and Ian's. Matter of fact, it's impossible. Ian, an arpeggio and away you go.
I have heard the maybe singing his love song to the morn. I have seen the dewdrop clinging to the rose just newly born. But a sweeter song hath cheered me at the evening's gentle close, and I've seen an eye still brighter than the dewdrop on the rose. 'Twas thy voice, my gentle Mary, and thine artless winning smile that made this world an Eden. Bonnie Mary,
full marks for Ian and Bonnie Mary, and talking of marks, I see we have a victory this week for Dennis and Ian. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music with John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Richard Edis.